live streaming, whatever. This is episode 77. This time I have back Artur Sausins from Latvia. Hello, Artur. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. And for now, well, I wanted to say we started really early, but actually now again we are delaying. But okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Isn't it the right time for you?
Well, approximately, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Ah, you mean the other months we used to delay?
Yeah.
Okay.
While setting up.
Well, I'm trying to see if I'm live streaming to the to live coding. I cannot see if I'm streaming, but if you see, just let me know. And okay, so today we are going to comment on several topics. Some are very interesting because they are not usual, but let me review the usual topics for this month. What is it? There is a playback here. Okay. Because I was pausing. Okay, so we are going to start by the usual topics, but I better start sharing the screen if I can. I don't know if I can. Can I? Just tell me if this is the right screen.
No, wrong screen.
No, this, yes. No, I mean the right window.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it okay now? Okay, so we are going to cover the usual PHP latest releases, mostly of the other month, because this month there will probably PHP 7.1 will be released, given that the latest RC of PHP 7.1.0 was already announced, and they say it was the last. This is the 7.1.0 RC5, but there was the RC6 already. Then we move on to a topic that seems to be a bug that is happening for many years, but it seems it didn't affect much PHP applications, which is related to the way the PHP HTTP stream wrapper sends requests to web servers. It should be compliant with at least HTTP 1.1, but it was not sending the right headers or whatever is the right behavior. Then we have an interesting topic, and probably should even show a video for a way to show debugging sessions in PHP. It seems this is this is based on Xdebug, and I'm not sure if this is a fork of Xdebug or something, but it is able to play back sessions. I mean, you can go backwards to see how it was a session before you single step certain commands, so you can actually see before and after. I did not try this, but this seems to be useful, so you can see what went wrong before and after you were stepping your code. The next topic is about just an RFC to propose to prevent that you extract the count of objects that are not countable. This is probably to avoid some bugs that may happen when you're trying to count the wrong type of value. The next topic is more about PGO. PGO can emulate, this one is about driver specific parameters. You can send parameters to PDO, but some drivers may have specific parameters that you may want to configure. So the proposal is to allow you to configure those parameters. Then there is the possibility to debug prepared statements. When PDO is emulating prepared statements, you can actually see what is the query that was executed after replacing the values of the prepared statements. Then there is a proposal to add the BigNum support using the OpenSSL extension. The idea is to provide a class that uses the OpenSSL library to perform operations with arbitrary precision numbers. The next topic is about the way numeric keys are converted as indexes to access objects and arrays. And the last topic is to propose to have object type hinting. So instead of having type hinting for a specific class, just you can have object, so you can actually accept any type of object in a function. So going back to the first topics, let's go through the latest revisions of PHP. As you may know, PHP 5.6 is going through, I think, security only fixes. So there are quite a few bugs that were fixed, but I don't see anything really huge. Anyway, you should.
They don't even seem to be security only.
Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe PHP 5.6 is not yet in security fixes only yet. Maybe it's next year or something. Anyway, for PHP 7.0, there are also some bug fixes. Some of them seem to be similar to the ones that were fixed on PHP 5.6. And for PHP 7.1, there, I mentioned here, the RC5 that was released on, this is October 27, but there was already RC6 on November 10. So probably PHP 7.1 will be released sometime this month, November. Let's see what happens, because there may be delays or not. And that's the plan. From what I can gather, many people are not yet even using PHP 7.0, because they may need to make some effort to migrate their code. But I think PHP 7.1 will also somehow encourage people to catch up on the latest versions. Moving on to the next topic. This is not a big deal, but there seems to have been an inconsistency in the way PHP sends HTTP requests to remote servers. And I think this problem was discovered because when sending HTTP requests to some SOAP web service servers, it was not handling the responses as expected. I mean, the responses were not were as if the requests were not being accepted. So there are a few issues. Some are a bit unusual. Well, one is that the host header is mandatory for HTTP 1.1, so the server knows which host you are sending your requests. In case of, for instance, you have virtual hostings, so the server needs to know what is the address of the virtual hosting that you are accessing. And there was also an issue that they mentioned here, which is about persistent connections. You may want to handle persistent connections, but if the server says that the connection is closed, you should not attempt to use the socket connection afterwards, because the socket connection should be closed. And then there is some weird condition. I have not seen this many times. I have developed a HTTP client for PHP. I have not seen this many times, but sometimes some servers return it the status 100 continue, and it was not being handled very well. And I remember that when I developed that HTTP client, it was quite complicated, because it's like a temporary response saying the request
was always good, keep sending.
Sorry?
Like always good, keep sending?
Maybe it's more like the request was accepted in a moment that we are going to process the response. That's what I gather. That is the idea. Anyway, PHP was not handling this very well, so the proposal is to implement a fix to handle this correctly. Okay. Well, there's not much to say, except that I'm not sure if this is going to make PHP 7.1, maybe later versions.
Yeah, probably not. I think they had some estimate, like, yeah, okay, they want to make the default HTTP 1.1 in PHP 8 version, but I think there's nothing about it. Well, the init state of configuration options will come before that, but yeah, not in 7.1, I think.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because isn't this a bug fix? Or
I don't know. It's not really a bug. Just a stream wrapper was using HTTP 1.0 all the time, and no one noticed.
No one cared. At least when they. Well, it is a bug if you are sending HTTP 1.1 requests, because some servers may not handle it as HTTP 1.1 if they're because PHP is sending HTTP 1.0, and they're
maybe
also
maybe use something else like CURL or any other library that would handle it correctly.
Well, I don't know, because I usually don't use this stream wrapper.
Yeah, same thing.
Only for simple things.
As I understood, the functions like file get contents use it underneath, so.
Yes, that's when you just put the file name http://something or https. And well, maybe this, for most people, it won't affect, but since this was not being handled properly, probably this needs to be a bug fix, but I don't know. because I think there is no INI setting for telling the version of the request. Maybe that's what they are proposing for the future. Well, okay, this is just a side note. Just in case you are using these functions fopen or file-get-contents, so you be aware that if you encounter some bugs, it may be due to this problem. So they probably fix it now and add the INI version and INI setting in the future, or not. I don't know if you even want to choose, because nowadays, if you are not using HTTP 1, it's because you are using HTTP 2.
True.
Okay. Well, moving on to the next topic, which is quite unusual. Let me share the screen here. Okay. So this is the announcement. I'm not sure if this is a fork of Xdebug or something. Probably it is. It is called Don't Bug. Why Don't Bug? I don't know why the name is called. But basically, this is a way for you to using a regular IDE that uses Xdebug, that supports Xdebug, to call. To be able to single step your code backwards. So you can, for instance, if you are debugging some code, you step over some code and you want to go back and check how it was the state of some variables or something before you actually run that code. And this I don't know if I even can call it a debugger. There's a video here. Are you seeing the video?
No. But I can imagine what a situation where it would be helpful. Like you put a breakpoint before the loop, go into a loop and just press step until you reach the needed value, and then you missed it. You need to start all over again.
Yeah.
But here it's a different step back and...
Yeah. Well, I was trying to share the screen, but I don't know why I can't. But I'm seeing... Aren't you seeing the...
Oh, it's showing,
okay.
Yeah. Full screen.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
now
full screen.
Yeah.
There is a guy talking here, how it works, and
so you can step back. Oh, so you need to switch the modes too. Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, because the IDE does not have a feature for going forward or backward. You need to switch the modes. And as I understand that while running the same code again, it does not like really change it. It's all recorded, so it does not write multiple times to file or database or stuff like that. And as I say, it also generates same values for random function and stuff like that because it's a recorded session.
Well, from what I understood, it doesn't actually run the code again. It just plays back the debug session.
Yeah.
So whatever it did, it is already recorded and it just can play back. I'm not sure how this works. I'm not sure if this is a separate project, because it says it works where Xdebug works. There is a repository in GitHub. And it says it was implemented in Golang and a bit of C. So this is a separate project, not not a, something related with XDebug apart from the using the same protocol.
Yeah, exactly. Probably would implement the same protocol, and that's it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. This, I think this is very interesting and innovative because and useful because sometimes it really happens that you are debugging some code and you don't even know what is going on. Well, maybe I think I need to try this to actually evaluate it in practice. Anyway, there are some people talking here in the chat. I don't know if you noticed. So if you see any questions, you can also answer them.
Yeah, I always kind of forget about it. I need to recheck it more often.
Yeah. I have detached the window here because since it was in the same place, it would probably do some inception of the window. Anyway, this is interesting, and maybe it is worth trying. I'm not sure how it is started because here in the example, the guy shows a shell window on which he starts the debugger. Dontbug.seo is loaded on PHP 7, but I'm not sure if this is running on the current PHP web server or just the command line. Well, anyway, this is a very interesting idea. And if you are going to debug a lot using these debuggers, you probably find this idea very useful because it helps you to go back and forth. Okay, moving on to the next topic. There is a proposal here regarding issue some kind of warning or maybe exception when you're trying to count objects that are not countable. So the proposal was already voted and was completely approved, and it is probably for PHP 7.2. Or at least the next PHP version, because I don't know if the next PHP version will be 7.2 or 8.0.
That is an interesting choice that they, for any value passed to the function count, it will return one because it's like counting the value that you pass. It's at least one there. So, I don't know. It's really interesting choice. I would rather go with zero if it's not countable.
Yeah, and the problem is that sometimes you pass values to certain functions, and due to some bugs, you are not passing an array or some countable object. So the idea is to somehow detect that, so you can realize that you have a bug and you need to fix it. Okay, so I think this idea is simple and was already approved. So the next topic that we are going to comment is more about PDO. As you may know, PDO is an extension for accessing databases, and you can access many types of databases using the same interface, but there may be some parameters that are specific to the type of database that you are using that you want to control. So the idea of this proposal is to actually be able to define those parameter values, so you don't have you are not restricted to the common set of parameters that you can in all supported databases. So I think this is a good idea. The proposal is for the next PHP version, but it was not yet started to vote, unlike the previous proposal. A related proposal here is about being able to debug prepared statements. I mean, the emulated ones, PDO can execute emulated prepared statements, but it can also execute native prepared statements. But I mean, those that are processed in the server by the actual database server that is going to replace the prepared statement values. So the idea here is that for emulated prepared statements, you can actually see the query that you are that you have run, or I don't know. I think it says prepare. I'm not sure if prepare executes.
No. The execute is lower. As you see, it first with the outputs the provided query with the placeholders, and after execute, it outputs the real query that was executed.
Okay, so it's only after executing. Before executing, it doesn't.
Yeah, because you can bind more values, and it doesn't compile it, doesn't prepare it really. So.
Yeah, well, it's only after missing. Right, you may be missing some values, right?
Yeah.
So those values are not yet replaced. So I think this makes sense. The proposal. I think it was approved. There are some votes against and for this proposal. I'm not sure, but it required 50%, so I guess it was approved.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah. And the next proposal that we are discussing here is about big numbers. I'm not sure if big numbers means arbitrary precision or not.
It's similar as GMP class.
Yes, arbitrary large integer math. So OpenSSL seems to have some support to manipulate big numbers, although it is not its main purpose. The idea of this proposal is to actually use that support for manipulating big numbers, perform some operations, arithmetic and others, to so you can use them in your PHP code. So you can use a class that is similar to the GMP class to perform these operations, and I think it may be interesting.
It's also useful when using a OpenSSL other functions, and that would also accept it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if this they say they are proposing it for a separate version. I mean, a separate module, separate. Okay. Here it says,
I think it is from OpenSSL module.
Yes, I see. PHP 7.2 with an independent BC module and OpenSSL BigNum for 7.1, 7.2. So the idea is to make it available with the current PHP versions. Well, I think it makes sense. I have not used the big numbers Anytime, Artus, do you have any applications that use big numbers for some numbers?
I think I never needed anything like that, but I imagine that for the same cryptography, it probably would be needed.
Yeah. Well, this is not just for cryptography. It could be like, for instance, you are manipulating numbers money amounts that you cannot have. How would I say? You cannot make mistakes. You cannot round the numbers the wrong way.
You can never make mistakes with money.
Yes, exactly. Even if it is cents. So for those purposes, I think it makes sense. I never used it, but for people that for some reason need to manipulate numbers and without losing precision, because of limitations of fixed length integers or even floats, if they are used at all, this may be useful. So the next proposal that for PHP probably 7.2 is about converting numeric keys in object and arrays. So I guess there is a difference. I didn't even know that it was possible to have a variable in an object that would be a number. Like
no, it would be converted to a string, so yeah. And it could exist. Yeah.
So I'm not sure. So the proposal here is to make it consistent. No, I don't think so, because in PHP, when you have an integer, that is the index that they use. I guess it doesn't convert to an integer.
Yeah, so
I'm not sure if I got this proposal right.
So basically, I think that if you're using array, you can have keys as numbers, and underneath in hash table, you could also use those keys as numbers. If you have an object, then you have keys only as strings, and underneath there is a hash table that also uses keys as strings. So the problem is specific case when you convert array to object, then all those integers, numbers that were used as keys are ignored in object because the same hash table is simply copied or referenced or anything.
Oh, I see.
And the fix would be to convert the keys to strings or something like that, I think.
Wow, this is a very good question. So, would you be converting arrays to objects?
The mention is for set type function, I think.
Set type. So it's like a cast.
I guess, or it was a fix. Let me recheck.
I mean, in real applications, when do you want to convert arrays into objects or objects into arrays or whatever?
I don't know. Usually, maybe when... It's hard.
Exactly. When? It's like, we don't know, but maybe somebody has some use for this.
Yeah.
And, okay. Anyway, back to the topics. There was one last topic that we want to cover, which is a sort of evolution of the type hinting of PHP. In PHP, you can have type hinting for objects, arrays. Then they have also support to scalar values. And now the proposal here, and it says status as on hold, although they want to resume it, is to have a special type hinting that would be called object, that would allow any object to be passed, not a specific type of object. I don't know. I'm not sure if I got this right too. What do you think, Arthur?
Yeah, so it could be any object, it could be class instance, it could be empty object, but it can't be integer, it can't be string, which someone could argue could also be something object-like, but it's not. And basically, yeah, it's a type hint for static analysis tools to catch those errors or to point to you that you're doing something that you not expect. There is always the discussion about null value being an object or not. So
yeah,
in JavaScript, it is an object, but probably should not be.
Oh, really? Null is an object?
Yeah, it's if you use type of operator on null, it would say that it's an object.
Oh, I see. Because objects in JavaScript don't have classes, right?
Yeah.
So, but I guess there is another proposal to allow to accept null as a valid object. I mean, a valid parameter for functions that require an object of a certain class. So basically, I think this may make sense in some cases. These cases are a bit weird. I think it is has started to vote. No, actually, it was started to vote, but it was paused. So I don't know if this is going to be resumed or not. Let's wait and see. Okay, now we are going to talk about the Innovation Award nominees and winners. As always, we are going to start from the JavaScript ones of August, I think, right?
Yep.
Let me share the screen here, Innovation Award. I guess this is the one. We had like five nominees in August. Arthur, which ones would you like to comment?
So the first one I chose is a really interesting package. I really liked it. Sorry, I just turn off the sound here because it's doubling in my ears. Okay, so it's really interesting package, and when I saw it, I thought, what a nice idea, how someone didn't came up with it before. So it's called Advanced jQuery Scroll Progress Tracker, and it was developed by David Whitworth from Germany. And basically, yeah, it's a progress bar which tracks your page scroll progress, so how far are you to the end of the page. There were screenshots, yeah, so you could see something like that. So if you are having some installation or setup documentation, then you, while you're scrolling it, you can show progress bar how much is left, which would basically indicate how long time would it take and how much, maybe not specifically steps, but you know, reading material. So I think really nice idea, and as you see, there can be some points like headers maybe, and
yeah.
It's also mobile friendly, as we see.
Yes, that's nice.
Yeah, exactly. I thought, how come nobody before did something? At least I haven't heard about anything similarly. So really nice idea. Really liked it. And
yeah, because you can see the position of the sections. Not just a scroll bar that doesn't say exactly where you are in the page.
Yeah, it's configurable, it seems. Yeah, and you can provide numbering or to use titles or not, or one by one way and stuff like that. And David got to 1 month with Coding TV account pro subscription. Oh, that's the first one.
Yeah, I think. Well, I hope he is enjoying, because I notified him and that live coding people would be in touch to provide his subscription, but I didn't get any feedback, so I hope all is well. Okay, so next one.
Is JavaScript cryptographic chat. So it's basically an AJAX based chat with, I think, PHP server backend. And what it does is when you're creating a room, it agrees on password between all the peers, and all the messages that are sent to this server are encrypted. So it's like a great protection for a chat if you need something like that. And it was developed by Martin Letter from United Kingdom. No demos or screenshots. And Martin got one ebook of choice by Pact for this package.
Yeah.
So you can see the encryption is quite okay. SHA encryption, local cipher. So yeah, if you need something functionality similar, you can use this package. And the next package is PHL server. HTTP server is auto configuration based on Node.js. So yeah, as you know, Node.js provides an web-based server internally, but it's really raw and configurable. And I think this is some kind of more of a wrapper around it, providing easier configuration. As you see, it also deals with some common content types.
Yeah.
Applying the headers and dealing with not found pages and stuff like that. So something that would, as you see, allow you to run it easier. Yeah. And it was developed by Pierre Henry Soria from We Know From Where. How is it possible that We Know From Where?
I guess he's from France, but he doesn't want to tell.
I guess, okay. No price, I think, for this one.
Yeah, well, he didn't answer one. They didn't test. Sometimes people are just having fun just for participating, and prices are not the necessary for them, which is okay, as long as keep sending great packages like this one. So on my behalf, I will ask to also comment on a few packages. Once I can share the screen here. And that would be, I think, this one. No, OBS, no. Maybe, no. I guess this is the one, right? Can you see it?
Yep. I was good.
So, no. The next. Package that I want to comment is this one, JavaScript binary search, which is an implementation of binary search in JavaScript, so array, and it will search for the element if it is there, and this assumes that the array is somehow sorted, so. To keep it sorted, you need to also be able to insert the values, and they also become sorted. So this package also can do the insertion of a new element in the binary tree, and this way it becomes faster to search. For elements, because you don't have to check all the positions. Okay, this package was developed by Gustavo Avila, and he is from Brazil. And I don't know if he already replied about his price, but at least I think he's already notified. The last package that I wanted to comment is V3 Scenic SDK, basically a package that can send AJAX requests to a warehouse of objects that is running on the server. And it can perform all the basic CRUD operations, create, read, update, and delete. So I think this requires some thing on the server side, or not. I'm not sure. Let's take a look. Here, the example shows you better. Okay, it sends requests and calls callbacks. So we can perform the usual object searching. But I'm not sure if this communicates. Here it is. You can communicate with a server that is already storing the database. So this package was developed by Jorge Pons from Mexico. And, now let's take a look at the rankings of the innovation world in JavaScript so far. So far, Endestoth is still leading with 6 packages and 22 points. Dante Francois is following from France with 5 packages and 18 points. Everton de Rosa with 2 packages and 7 points in third place. Then Juan Jose from Spain with 1 package and 6 points. Then there is Martin Latter from UK, Edvaldo Zimonek from Brazil, and Carl Holtz from Canada are tied with 1 package and 5 points. Then David Whitworth with 1 package and 4 points. Then Fall is tied with Pierre-Henri Soria with 1 package and 4 points. Then finally, Kiyoan is in that 10th place with 1 package and 3 points. By countries, things are more or less the same, not a great variation, just Hungary is ahead with 6 packages and 22 points, mostly by due to packages from Understoth. And then France with 6 points and 6 packages and 21 points, Brazil with 4 packages and 14 points. Germany with 2 packages and 7 points is tied with Mexico, but Mexico has 4 packages. Spain with 1 package and 6 points. United Kingdom with 1 package and 5 points is tied with Canada in 7th place. Then there is a ghost country here because this is a bug. This is due to points of Pierre Soria that does not identify his country. But then he's tied with Armenia and with 2 packages and 4 points. So this is for the JavaScript Innovation Award. For the PHP Innovation Award, as you may see, in August there were like 11 nominees, and I guess you'll be talking the first 5 packages, right, Art?
Yep. Zoom it in. That's okay. And the first package is PHP website compare files, developed by Roger George from United States. And basically what this package does, it completes the list of the files on the two websites. So I guess the most common usage would be to compare production website with dev website if anything was deleted or hacked or changed or stuff like that, or so you can replace it, restore it. And it actually requires to have FileList PHP installed on both sides so that you can retrieve and compare all the lists.
Well, that could be useful because sometimes people get their servers invaded and the scripts are changed. And if they had like a solution like this, they could quickly determine if the files was changed in production, and even know what to restore.
Yeah, and Roger got one audible copy of Code Lobster Professional for this package. The next package is PNG Hex Cover Modifier, developed by Bruno Henrique Ferreira from Brazil. And basically what it can do, it can take a PNG image and change one of the covers that you provide to completely other colors, or all the covers in this PNG file would be changed. So it allows to easily manipulate PNG files with PHP, or with, in this specific case, changing specific colors.
Yeah, this is a bit different, I guess, because it modifies the file directly.
Yeah, I think it does. This one. Oh, JPEG 2, so not only PNG, but JPEG 2 bonus. I think it really reads the file and modifies it directly without any
any
graphical libraries.
And I guess that's a new variant of the package, of the class, that originally it didn't have the JPEG version, the PNG.
As the description says, it's a bonus. Nice bonus.
Okay.
Yeah, and Bruno got one big elephant, LFPHP and Flash Master.
Yeah.
I see that's popular.
This one. Well, it is popular. Usually it's the first prize that some winners pick. Like, if the first one picks the elephant, the second and the following ones will be sad, because they cannot pick the elephant as well. And they even get it personalized with their name and the Innovation Award winners. But I guess not August, but in September, the first winner did not pick the elephant. And I was wondering, did you notice there is an elephant? Well, actually, it was the first prize listed there. So maybe he doesn't want elephants, which is unusual in the PHP world. So, as for the packages this month, I would like to comment on a few. There are a few packages that I would like to highlight, but I don't think it is this month. There are a few ones that deal with implemented PSR recommendations, which are the Zix interface, but okay, it is not yet this month. This month, I would like to comment. First, there is this PHP Builder Pattern Generator. It generates code for classes using the builder pattern. So that is the builder design pattern, and it allows you to generate code for them. So basically, it's a code generation approach. I was hoping to show an example here, but I don't have the example to show in a clear way. But basically, it is a way to generate code for packages dynamically. So we can generate classes and the functions and so on. So this package was developed by Asher Wolfstein, and he picked as prize one downloadable copy of Commodore IDE. The next one that I want to comment. Oh, right. This was one of the first that I wanted to comment, because it implements here. Now there is a category called PSR, PHP Standard Recommendations, which are basically recommendations for standard. Standards to be adopted by the community, not that the community adopts them, but if they want to adopt something that is defined by a group of people, so there are some benefits. They have these PSR recommendations. And one of the recommendations is dependency injection container interface. And with this, it allows, for instance, to have one framework calling services implemented by components of other frameworks, because they have the same interface defined by PSR. I didn't mention here, I don't remember exactly, but I wrote a recent article about the importance of this, of having people following standards for interfaces. Just like we have, for instance, in the Java world, there is JCP, Java Community Process to define standards, and if you adopt the standards, you can benefit from several things. In this case, the ability to call components of one written for one framework and use them in applications that use other framework. In this case, they mention KPHP. Actually, this package was developed by Nerijus from Lithuania. He didn't pick a price, or well, I tried to mail him, but he didn't reply yet. So if he is listening, he can get back to the site and eventually still pick a prize. Well, for the Innovation Award ranking of 2016, Christian Wiig is well ahead with 8 packages and 66 points. And in second place is Johnny Mast from the Netherlands with 3 packages and 41 points. Then Bharat Parmar from India with 3 packages and 34 points, followed by Dave Smith with 4 packages and 32 points right after him. Luciano Salvi from Argentina is in 5th place with 3 packages and 31 points. Then Alexei Nemir with 2 packages and 37 points. Jeremiah Okomo from Nigeria with 2 packages and 26 points. Then Kaspar Ruinski from Poland with 2 packages and 24 points. Then Bruno Enrique Ferreira de Oliveira with 2 packages and 21 points. Then in 10th place is Andrea Battaloni from Italy with 2 packages and 20 points. By country, the competition is really, really tight. As you may see, France is still ahead with 2 packages and 101 points, but Brazil is right after with 9 packages and 100 points. I guess France passed Brazil for this month. Still, the United States is close with 13 packages and 91 points. United States won last year, but this year thinks the competition is tighter, which is great because this means that many packages have been sent by developers from these countries. Then in first place is Russian Federation with 8 packages and 69 points. Then India with 5 packages and 60 points. Netherlands with 5 packages and 55 points. Spain with 6 packages and 54 points. Nigeria with 4 packages and 39 points. And Argentina with 4 packages and 36 points is tied with Italy in 9th place. So with this, we still have a couple months to go, and it's great that many great innovative packages are being sent by all developers. So the championship for PHP is not yet defined. It is possible still that rankings may change in individually, although it's harder, but in my country it is very, very tight. And this is great, because where the country that wins, will all the nominees will get their own personalized elephant for being from the winner country. Well, basically, with this, I reach the end of the Innovation World podcast, and ahead we'll have the latest PHP articles podcast. So we'll be back in a moment. On my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, basically, for this month, we have reached the end of this podcast. Next, we still have the Innovation Award podcast and the latest PHP articles, as well as the JavaScript podcast that we are going to talk about the usual topics of the month. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.